الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد، أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الحمد لله، all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most magnificent, most generous, and most kind and merciful Lord. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his noble, beautiful, purified family members, and upon the noble and illustrious companions ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our attendance here today on this blessed day of Jumu'ah, and make our attendance a means for our forgiveness, for our guidance, for our purification, for our salvation and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And may Allah Azza wa Jal raise us all together with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and enter us all into the gardens of paradise. Allahumma ameen. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began our discussion on one very beautiful and powerful part of the verse of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us and reminds us that radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is content, he is pleased, and he is happy with a certain group of people. And this is in relation to the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But this verse also equally applies to us all, because we, our objective and our goal here in this life, in this dunya, is to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with us. If we fail in this regard, then we have wasted our entire lifetime. So last week on Jumu'ah, we began our discussion asking this particular question: is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you? Can you turn around with this hope, perhaps, or with this conviction, and say or make this claim that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with me? Because the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, had this bashara given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal was pleased with them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a very quick summary of last week's discussion, was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived his entire life, everything that he had, through the richness, through the poverty, through the highs and through the lows, through the difficulty, through the ease, through the stones on his stomach, through the blood on his feet, and everything that he suffered, that he encountered, his entire objective and goal in life was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, Allah azza wa jal accepted everything that he did, and Allah rewarded him by saying, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that indeed very close nearby in your lifetime, and especially in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so much that you will be content and pleased with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself was pleased with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and in turn the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pleased with his Lord. And the companions ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, and this is why we say after each and every companion, we say radiyallahu anhu وَعَنْهَا وَعَنْهُمْ وَعَنْهُنَّ. Why? Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. But can we wholeheartedly say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us? with the life that we have lived so far, with the decisions that we have made, with the way that we live our life, the way that we interact with one another, the way that our relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it would be very difficult for us to make that claim, myself included. But the Sahaba ikram, where there was stones were placed on their chest, and they were placed there under the basking heat of the Arabian sun, and they carried on saying, Ahadun, Ahadun. Or the Sahaba ikram who had to eat leaves during the boycott and the besiege, they kept on saying that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the Sahaba ikram went through, they always had this goal to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to please their tribes, not to even please their family members, or to please their friends, or their own nafs and whims and desires, but their entire focus was to get and seek and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, radiyallahu anhum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, with the way that they have lived their life. Allah is pleased with their heart, with their mind, with their soul, with their actions, everything that they have done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they in turn are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we recited the glorious verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u 'alal kuffar رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. The Sahaba ikram, who are they? They are those who are forceful against the disbelievers. They are standing strong and firm in their iman, in the way that they are, and they are merciful amongst one another. What are they doing? They are bowing and prostrating and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the entirety of their life, to wake up and to please Allah, to do job and to do business and to have all their interactions, to do everything with people, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they are trying to achieve, they are trying to fadlam minallahi wa ridwana. They are seeking the bounty of Allah azza wa jal, and they are seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the life of the Sahaba ikram. Whereas we know that the majority of our lives, we are constantly trying to please ourselves. We are constantly trying to please other people, whether it is your own spouse or your own children, your family members, your friends, your colleagues. We give so much of our efforts and exert our efforts to pleasing people, but we know that they will never truly be pleased. Whereas the reality is, we should be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just reflect on your own life, on your children, and how much you give. No matter what you give, whether it's toys, whether it's food or sweets, you still have to give more and more to please them. Whether it's your spouse, how you like them today and what you want them to do, how their body is, how their clothing is, all of these things, and your family members, and what you expect from them and they expect from you, your friends, your society. And people are not even pleased within themselves. They are not pleased with the body that was given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I so short? Why am I so tall? Why am I in this particular stature or demeanor? They are not pleased with the appearance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with. They are not pleased within themselves. So how can they ever be pleased with anything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in terms of health, in terms of wealth? They have a house, but they always want a bigger and a better house. They have a car, but they always want a second one or a third one. They have a salary today and they are pleased, but they're always looking for a bigger and a better salary. They are not even ever impressed or pleased with their employer. So how will they ever be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So as I mentioned last week on Jumu'ah, we have to change this worldly mindset of trying to please ourselves and people and the world, and make sure that whether or not our heart or our mind is actually pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine if you are working for somebody and you have tenure, and you are working for 40 years or 50 years with one employer, and then after those 40 or 50 years with that employer, the employer has continued to pay you and given you your perks and your wages and everything else, but your job was to complete a particular project after those 40 years or 50 years. And after you've completed the project, the employer turns around and says to you, I reject everything that you have done. I am not pleased with the quality or the standard of your work. How would you feel as a person who has spent 40, 50 years and your everything that you've put into your that particular project for it to be rejected by your employer because he is not pleased? Isn't it far more important and greater for us to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our boss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our owner, and He has sent us here on earth with a particular job to do, an objective to achieve. And imagine when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He says, the 50, 60, 70 years of your life, I am not pleased with it. I reject it and everything that you have done. What is the purpose of that life? What is the purpose of that job if you are not pleased your employer, if you have not achieved that particular objective and goal of that project? And this is how we need to understand that we have been sent here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to please the dunya, not to please the shaitan, not to please the rest of humanity, but first and foremost to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please our deen and to please the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the glorious Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That today I have completed your religion, your way of life for you, and I have perfected and completed and given all of the blessings and bounties to you. And what have I chosen for you? I am pleased and happy and content with this religion that I have given you. But how many of us are happy with the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, with the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us and ordained for us? So previously on Jum'ah we asked these very quick questions, and I'm going to go through them very quickly once again. That how do you know, what are some of the signs to establish whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you or not? And one of the things I mentioned is that we need to assess your own life. Evaluate your life and see what occupies your day and your routine and your heart and your mind. Do you wake up and your mind is to get up, I need to be at work because I need to please my employer, I need to achieve this particular goal today, I need to work hard so I need to buy this for my wife or for my children or for my family, I need to do X, Y and Z constantly. What are the things that occupy your mind and your heart on a daily basis? That will give you an indication whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you or not. Because if you wake up in the morning to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me life. He has returned life to me. Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. And you wake up and you say, oh, today I'm going to make sure I please my Lord. I'm going to do extra nawafil. I'm going to do duha. I'm going to do ishraq. I'm going to do extra tasbih and salah. I'm going to do extra zakah and extra sadaqah. I'm going to do extra, extra, extra. Today I'm going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that occupy your mind? Or does it occupy your mind to please the world and everything that is within the world? Are you pleased with all of the hardships that are there in your life? Sickness, poverty, difficulty, whatever that comes in your life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you equally pleased with that the same way that you are pleased when everything is hunky-dory and easy and you have wealth and health and family and everything is going well? This is again is an indication that if you are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even through the hardships, then perhaps know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you to a certain degree. Then check your relationship with your parents, both of your parents. If your parents are not happy and they are not pleased and they are not content with you, then know that this is also an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with you. رِضَى الرَّبْ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ. This is a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the rida, that the contentment, the pleasement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the pleasement of the father and the mother. If your parents are not happy and pleased with you, then how, if you are unable to please your parents, how are you ever going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The parents who fed you, who clothed you, who showered you, who changed you, who provided for you, who gave you everything that they had, and they made you who you are, and you are unable to please them, then how are you ever able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the question. And remember that the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in which a companion, he was unable to utter the shahada. He was unable to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked the remaining sahaba ikram, does he have a mother or a father who was still alive? And they said, yes. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam questioned the mother. And she said, I am displeased with my son, because he was not dutiful towards me. He would ignore me. And because of that, I am displeased with him. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam then told the Sahaba ikram, go and gather and collect firewood. Why? Because we need to burn this individual. This companion who has seen me, has iman in me, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's burn him. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, why? He said, it's better for him to burn in the fire of the dunya than for him to burn in the fire of the hereafter, because his mother is displeased with him. As soon as the mother found out what they were about to do to her son, even though he was old and he was married and he had children, because she was displeased with him, then she said, no, I forgive him and now I am pleased with him. As soon as she said that, then that sahabi was able to utter the shahada and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourselves, how pleased are your parents with you? And if they are displeased, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you as well. Another indication is check how the real people, the genuine, not the people who are just there to please you and appease you to your face, genuine, honest people of righteousness, how do they think of you? How do they talk about you? Do they respect you and honor you or not? If you have true izzah and honor in the dunya, again, this is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. Why? Because those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, he informs Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salam, he says, know that I love this person. Then Jibra'il alayhi salam goes into the heavens and announces to all of the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this individual and is pleased with this individual. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the qabuliyah, the acceptance of that individual, into the hearts and minds of people here on earth, in the righteous hearts and minds of people. So if you are truly honored and respected by those who are righteous, and if your parents are happy and pleased with you, and if you are happy and content in the hardships of life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your mind and heart is occupied in the remembrance of Allah, then know that perhaps that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. But if none of these things apply, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with you. Coming on to the second part, which I mentioned that we will do today in detail, but again, time is always passing away very quickly. The second part of that verse of the Quran is waradu an. The first part was radiyallahu anhum, and today we will do waradu an, that the Sahaba ikram are in turn pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is to me and you, are you truly pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal? هَلْ أَنْتَ رَاضٍ عَنِ اللَّهِ. Are you truly راضي in every single state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord? Because this is the hadith that we're all working around. مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَقُولُ حِينَ يُمْسِي وَحِينَ يُصْبِحْ رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. That there is no Muslim who says in the morning or in the evening that I am truly pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Lord, Islam as my religion and way of life, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet, except illa kana haqqan ala Allah an yurdiyahu yawm al-qiyamah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promise to please him on the day of resurrection. So it's not just a statement that we utter, we have to mean it. We have to believe in that statement. We have to truly understand the gravity of that statement, and we have to live the reality of the statement. It's not just mere words that slip off our tongue and we say, Raditu billahi rabban, but whenever things get difficult, and we say, oh, look at how hard life is. And you're always constantly complaining because of the situation that you are in. Who has put you in that situation? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question as we continue is, are you fully, unequivocally pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord? This means that when you believe this, without a speck of a doubt, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. That you only turn to Him and you only ask for Him. And no matter what the situation may be, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sickness, through health, through poverty, through ease. And every situation, you are happy and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your Lord. You don't go to false gods and false deities, and you don't worship yourself or worship other beings and celebrities and follow other people or other beings. You only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you are happy with Allah as your Lord, because He has given you life, He has given you this deen, He has given you all of the blessings, and He is happy with you with this deen, and you are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you believe without a speck of a doubt that the Sharia is always applicable to you in your life, wherever you may be. You don't need to be in Pakistan, you don't need to be in the UAE, you don't need to be in any other so-called Islamic country. You as a Muslim, wherever you are, the Sharia applies to you, to your wife, to your family, to your children, wherever you are. This is what it means to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you believe without a speck of a doubt and are pleased with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to dress like him, you want to talk and walk like him and behave like him, whatever he did and whatever his wives did and whatever his children did and the Sahaba ikram did, this is what you want to emulate and copy and imbibe and inculcate within your own heart and mind, and also in the hearts and minds of your children. What does all of this mean? It means that we do not ignore the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not ignore Allah or His Sharia or His deen. This applies to all of us, especially in this country. When it comes to the rule of alcohol, there's no ifs and buts about it. If you're happy with Allah, you have to be happy with His Sharia. You have to be happy with His Messenger. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited alcohol, that's it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited drugs, that's it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the men and women to wear the hijab and to lower their gaze, you follow and you obey. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you there is no free mixing, there is the segregation of mahram and non-mahram, you accept that. You don't make exceptions. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you zina of the eyes and the body and adultery is haram, you keep away from that. When you know theft is haram, you keep away from that. When you know interest is haram, you keep away from all of these things. The thing is that when you're not happy with your employer, when you're not happy with other people, then you always find ways to go around them to get exactly what you want. But true Muslims who are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't find ways, oh, we're living in a non-Muslim country, so it's okay, we can buy and sell alcohol. We're living in a non-Muslim country, so it's okay, you know, if I have to be alone with another woman in a room, it's okay. There's no exceptions to any of these rules if you are truly happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain people in this community and also in the Muslim Ummah, you may have come across them, that when they hear about the punishment of Sharia, they start to challenge it. Oh no, this is barbaric. This is outdated. Islam needs to be reformed. This needs to be changed. There needs to be a moratorium passed on this particular rule. This verse of the Quran can't really apply to us in this day and age. These are the type of things that they try to use their aql to justify that, you know, this element of, you know, where their heart and their mind is not completely submitting to being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Lord, and the deen of Islam is their Sharia, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the way that who has applied this way of life. We always try to use our aql, our common sense, our logic to justify and to skirt around all of these things. And I'll just give you a few simple examples. When the shaitan, he was ordered, he was what? He was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. What did he immediately use? He used his aql. He used his logic, his common sense. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. That you created me from fire and you created him from clay. So how can I, somebody who's superior, bow down to something or someone which is inferior? This does not make sense to me. This hukum, this command, this sharia does not make sense to me. You want me to bow down to him? Shaitan, he was what? He wasn't pleased with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carried on to say, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدْ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prevented you from doing sajda when I ordered you to do it? And he replied, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. That I am better than him. I am made from fire, he is made from clay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I ordered you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us only to worship him. Why are we going elsewhere and worshipping other false deities and following false beings and things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to follow the sharia. Why do we try to find other solutions and ways of living our life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why do we substitute that for other things and beings in the world? Because we are not completely pleased and satisfied with Allah as our Lord, with the sharia as our way of life, and with the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We end up using our aql just the way shaitan used his aql, and he didn't realize that I ordered you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِذْ أَمَرْتُكْ, that I have ordered you to do this. Be pleased with my order, whether it makes sense to you or not, whether you are happy or you are discontent, doesn't matter. The hukum is from Allah, you obey it. The hukum is from your parents, as long as it's within the sharia, you obey it. Even though you may not like it, you may dislike it, you please your parents, you please your Lord, no matter your personal preferences or circumstances. The son of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he also many centuries later, he used his common sense as well. Even though his father, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to him, Ya bunayya irkab ma'ana wa la takun ma'al kafirin. Qala sa'awi ila jabalin ya'simuni min al-ma'. Qala la 'asim al-yawma min amri Allah illa man rahim. That, oh my son, Nuh alayhi salam is saying to him, the floods are coming from the top and below. Oh my son, come on board with us and do not be from those who disbelieve, those who conceal and those who reject the sharia and the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those who reject the messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, i.e. your father. But what did he say? What aql did he use? He said, no, that I will seek refuge on a high mountain and it will protect me from the water. جَبَلٍ يَعْسِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. But Nuh alayhi salam replied and he said, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That there is no protection today, where? From the decree, from the amr, from the hukum, from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he was destroyed because he used his aql. And this is where we are, the youngsters are in this day and age as well, where we use our aql and common sense to apply it to Allah Azza wa Jal, to apply it to the deen of Islam, and to apply it to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it falls within those parameters and the paradigms of our life, then we apply it. And if it doesn't, then we leave it. But this is not what it means to be raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin nabiyyan wa rasoola. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sharia, his deen, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are not purely based on logic or options. These are not optional things. We follow Allah Azza wa Jal unreservedly, wholeheartedly. We follow our deen unreservedly and wholeheartedly. And similarly, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have had conversations with youngsters, and you ask them this question, why don't you pray 5 times a day? And some of the responses are, but Imam Sahib, I have a good heart, I'm a good person, and these salawat, they're just physical movements. Allah knows my intention. I really do love Allah and I, you know, believe in Allah, but I don't want to apply this particular aspect of my deen. You ask a woman as well, why don't you wear the hijab? But my heart is pure. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. I don't have to cover my hair or my chest. The deen isn't just a scarf and loose clothing. That's not just all about modesty. This is their response. This is their aql that they're using, but they are not saying raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deena. They're using their aql to justify their own actions. But if they were pleased with Allah, they'd be pleased with his deen, with his sharia and his ahkamat, no matter what the situation would be. So brothers and sisters, if you are pleased with Allah as your Lord, then obey his commands. This is what it means to say raditu billahi rabba. If you are pleased with your parents, then obey their commands within the parameters of sharia. Stop dealing with interest. Stop dealing with alcohol. Stop doing zina. Stop doing all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And again, the conversation that you have, oh, Imam Sahib, it's only 2%.
It's only 3%. I've taken an extra loan. It's only 2% or 3% interest. And I make money, that individual makes money, the bank makes money, we do a good deal. Everybody benefits from it. It's the same thing. But brothers, it's not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَإِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَىٰ وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَىٰ. So don't just make this logical comparison and say, oh, transactions and these dealings are the same way as interest. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made transactions permissible and has made interest forbidden. So if you are pleased with Allah, you are pleased with His deen, then don't start using your logic. When you say, رَدِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا, say it, mean it, believe it, and live it. Say that you are pleased with Allah as your Lord wholeheartedly, with Islam as your deen wholeheartedly, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly. Be pleased with whatever is happening in your life right now. Not what will happen in the future, not what will happen in time to come. Now be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the way our brothers and sisters are happy in Gaza with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. They are not complaining. Do you see any woman without a hijab in Gaza for the last 85 days? No, they are still happy. They are trying their own means, but they are still happy with the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're still happy with the deen, with the sharia of Islam. They're still happy with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever your situation may be, whatever your situation may be, you use your means, but then you always remain pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you, whether that is poverty or health or richness, whether you have 5 kids, whether you have 0 kids, whether you have £100 a week or £1,000 a week. You say Alhamdulillah, and you are pleased with your spouse, pleased with your parents, pleased with your children and everything else, and you are pleased most importantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you achieve this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise will come to you, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُرْضِيَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It will be the incumbent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you pleased with Him on the day of Qiyamah. But first and foremost, we need to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure our lives revolve around pleasing Allah, revolve around applying the sharia and applying and following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on that day that this is the day when the truthful will benefit from the truthfulness, that we made these statements in the dunya but we lived the truth. We brought those statements to reality as well. What is the reality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is the reward? For them are gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are also pleased with Allah azza wa jalla. And what a great achievement that they have achieved, that their work has been accepted by Allah azza wa jalla, because Allah is pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore reminds us, and every single one of us, ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah irji'i ila rabbiki radiyah radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. That if you are truly satisfied within yourself, then you will always make every effort to return to your Lord, and you will be pleased with your Lord, and He will be pleased with you. You will be worshipping Him, and you will enter into the gardens of paradise because you are pleased with Allah, with whatever state that He keeps you in. So be pleased for everything that you have had in the past, for everything that you have now. Be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that He has given you. Be pleased and apply the perfect sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And be pleased with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. Please memorize this dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the statement, and apply it in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all His pleasure and contentment. Wa qul qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Jazakumullahu khayran. Kuch elanat.